I know if you like me, you know, I curse some things. I even curse people. You know, you can even curse your kingdom spouse when you don't understand what's going on. But God says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So when that didn't work, they tried to become friends to your enemies because they want to do the word of the Lord, thinking that that would make things right. They've deepened their relationship with God through their obedience in building up your kingdom, right? Your kingdom spouse is here. They are coming back to you, and they're going to manifest today at the preaching of this word.
I feel it so strong. They are literally on fire, and the Lord is reviving your relationship. The Lord is basically reminding them of you by making them feel, by making them remember how it was with you, by making them remember things about you.
Shouldn't be going back and forth. It's not a matter between am I getting married or am I going to stay single. That ain't the case, okay? Your issue is you're looking at what you see in the natural and it's not lining up. You're like, God, I know you promised me this. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm working on myself. I've done all of the things. Some of you, you know,
you're going to be drawn by this person. You try to drift away. You try to pray to God, like, if this is not for me, like, please take it out of my mind. Please take him out of my sight, out of my environment. But it's just like, it's like this push. It's like God is pinning you. God is pushing your buttons about this person. And it's just like, dang, like, and it's like, there's so much torture in your mind. There's so much chaos.
You may see them with other women or whatever the situation is. Know that you do not compare to those other women. You are in his heart right now. He is the one that is thinking about you all day. You're here with him everywhere that he goes. God has been giving him downloads about you daily.
This prophetic word, this one is for you, lost your kingdom spouse, and another one is about coming. Yes, God says you are meeting your kingdom spouse. Yes, there has been mercy. God has shown you mercy.
Amen. I'm here with another prophetic word from the Lord, thy God. Amen. God says this kingdom spouse is going to be so different.
They're wondering, God, when is this person coming home? But God wanted me to tell you that nobody can take the promise that he has for you.
What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back to the Me and He podcast with your host, who does not always know the most but tries to do her best, Araya Sunshine. I don't know if I could tell, but with the second season, I've been shifting a little bit more towards like false prophets, false prophecies, like heretics and things like that. And if you're worried, like, oh my gosh, like, is that going to be your only focus? Are you just a heresy hunter? I mean, I'll take the title. I think that's a funny name. But even Paul rebuked people openly in the Bible. He didn't do stuff behind the scenes, so that's why I'm talking about this. And then also, I'm young, so I just like to talk about trends. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, welcome back to the Me and He podcast with Araya Sunshine. Okay, so my question today is, what are your non-negotiables, your wants, and your needs for your future spouse? Because that's what we're going to be talking about today. I have this journal. I have a lot of journals all through here. You can't see the bottom half, but I have a lot. Trust me, I love to write. But I started off this journal in August, and I actually like made kind of like a foundation for like what I wanted in a spouse. And so this changes all the time. I'm just not gonna lie to you. But I did different categories. So the first category is, are we equally yoked? A lot of times people don't understand that being equally yoked does not only mean, are y'all both Christian? That is the most important factor. But furthermore, as Christians, are y'all both on the same spiritual levels? Like, for example, this is just an example. You don't have to take this as concrete evidence. I want to make that like very clear. As a woman, if I have been having an intimate relationship with Christ for 7 years, but there's a man who wants to pursue me who just gave his life to Christ yesterday, there's not any balance there. There's not really an equal yoke, if I'm being honest with you. And so that's the first thing. Like, even if we're like different majors or different career paths or whatever the case is, different family backgrounds, something still has to be similar. Like, there still has to be an equal yoke somewhere. And if y'all don't know what an equal yoke is, it's like a, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a line with like two circles on it that holds animals together to make sure that they're going at the same time, not like an egg yolk. It's yolk, y-o-k-e, not y-o-l-k. And that's 2 Corinthians 6:14 that I have to back that up. Do not become unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership does the righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And so it's not just unbelievers. It's also like, are y'all on the same spiritual plane? The second category that I made was no-brainers, like things that like is like a duh, like I'm not even gonna ask for this because it should be the standard. Funny, he has to be funny. He has to be well-groomed. He must have like the fruits of the spirit. That's a no-brainer. I'm not gonna ask you to have the fruits of the spirit. No, you must have that. He has to desire marriage, duh. We have to have shared activities and we have to be attracted to one another. Like, come on. Then my third category is like nitpicking is like, like this doesn't really have to be what I would love for it to be. Tall. Okay, I take that back. That is a must. Strong. That is a must. Well-versed. Not everybody is well-versed, but you need to be in your Bible a lot. Outdoorsy and city balance. Like, can you shoot like in the wild? Like, that type of stuff, Duck Dynasty, but then still come and like hang out with me in the city. Like, that's the kind of balance that I want. And then like, this is not nitpicking. This is also like a must for me as well, because if you love me, you'll do these things without me even having to ask. But giving me flowers, writing me letters, cheek kisses, forehead kisses, because those are more pure to me. Those are more classy kisses. Praying for and over me. That's not me nitpicking. That's a no-brainer. So see, it's changed since then. This is from August, y'all. This is when I had just turned 18. But yeah, and I literally put subject to change as I change every single day, which is true. But yeah, so I'm interested to know, like, what are y'all's like non-negotiables, wants and needs and things like that in a partner, since people talk about it a lot. So getting into this, so I'm gonna start off with Sierra's prayer and Kingdom Spouse prophecies and a technique for a Christian man, because we see that a lot. Okay, so who is Sierra? She's a singer, she's a songwriter, she's a businesswoman, a dancer, a model, and an actress whom I grew up listening to. So I just want y'all to know that. Like, my mom always played Sierra in the house. I always listened to her and all the things, like her dancing, her being in movies and stuff. I was there with her. I liked Sierra. She has songs like Goodies. I don't feel like I should have to explain that. I feel like you know where her goodies are. That's what she's talking about in the song. She has another song called Oh. She has another song, Body Party, I think. But y'all get the secular aspect of it. I just wanted to explain, though. And so she's also known for her ex relationship with the rapper named Future. If y'all know who Future is, Future got a lot of kids, y'all. I'm not gonna lie, he has a lot of kids. But yeah, he's a really well-known rapper. But they had a relationship together. He did her very wrong, very, very wrong, cheated on her. But they had a son together with whom her now husband took in, which I definitely give him his props for that. And that's definitely commendable. Men in our society, some men already struggle with taking care of the kids that they already have. But for him to sit up there and take care of kids that aren't even his, beautiful. Chef's kiss. Hold on, I need a pen. Girl, why don't you got no pens on you? I'll be back. Oh, it's literally right here. But yeah, I think that's very commendable. And there's also a Bible verse that talks about this as well. It talks about just like a father taking care of his household. So yeah, I say kudos to him, definitely. But going on further, she states that she is Christian. Like, she's pretty open about that, like, which is why I'm going to get into her prayer that a lot of people have been going after. Not recently, excuse me, but like in earlier years, people were like fiending for her prayer. But yeah, she says that she's a Christian, but her fruit at times does not show that, if I'm being honest with you. Like, the people that she hangs with, which I read 2 Corinthians 6:14, and I know that a lot of people always take that with marriage, but also just in general, we should not have fellowship with darkness. And at times she does fellowship with people who openly have other religions and things like that, you know. So I say just keep that in mind for what I'm going to talk about. But at best, I would describe Sierra as lukewarm. She's in and out at times. There's a lot of times when she has like a lot of promiscuous pictures into that. And she also still sings about things pertaining to the world, which in and of itself, like secular music, I still listen to at times. Like certain songs from the 50s and 60s, they're not outright talking about sex and evil things and stuff like that, like you would hear today. But you do have to be careful, because some things that she raps about in the world is like, she's like, this is for all my independent women and things like that, which she had a lot of backlash on that, because she's a married woman, but she wants to encourage independent women. So it's kind of like, there's just a different balance on that, you know? But yeah, and I'll, for that verse, I'll put up 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Now her husband, this is Russell Wilson. He is a football quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL. He is openly Christian, for what I've seen. I don't know this man close up, but he is openly Christian, and his fruits do show that. I could very well be wrong, because I don't know this man, never met him, but I'm just saying from what he shows, his characteristics, all of those things, it definitely does give Christian leader, man of God. Okay, so her prayer, I'll put it up on the screen right here so that you can read it and like just take some time to look at it. But she actually has a song with Summer Walker about this prayer. And Summer Walker is actually someone, this is what I was talking about earlier, who openly does voodoo and witchcraft and things like that, which the Bible is 100% against. Which I'll actually put up a verse for that so that I'm not just saying stuff. But also, Summer Walker, she made an altar and like for her ancestors. And so that was another thing too, that's kind of hard, because it's like, as Christians, we should not be fellowshipping with darkness, point blank period. And actually, I take that back. It's not kind of hard. It's an immediate no. We should not be doing that, point blank period. And I love Sierra. I grew up listening to her, but when you're wrong, you're wrong. And you shouldn't be hanging out with people who are doing that, let alone making a song with Summer Walker about that prayer. And so Summer helped her write this song, even though she's overtly worldly and she openly practices witchcraft, which again, I already read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. But also I would say her prayer, like Sierra's prayer, it's amazing, but it is not cut and paste when it comes to prayers. So if you are taking this prayer to emulate it as a technique for a man, you're not going to get very far. I remember a lot of women were posting and they were like, I need to pray Sierra's prayer so I can get a man. No, there could be a lot of heart issues wrong with you as to why you're not in a relationship yet. Maybe you haven't even actually surrendered your life to Christ yet. So maybe that's why you're not getting in a relationship, not because you need to pray Sierra's prayer. But prayer is just communication with God. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray at all times. So that is beautiful. That is amazing. But when we take somebody else's prayer, we can only emulate it at best. We can only copy it and try to imitate it at best, because that prayer didn't come from our heart. It came from Sierra's heart when she got Russell Wilson. And we don't know all the mysteries of God. We don't know why he allowed them to be together. We don't know any of that. And God's going to do things in his timing, even in spite of us sometimes. God can still do stuff. And so I don't think that we should be taking her prayer and being like, oh, we need to copy this and say this and do this. I don't think it's wise for us to do that. I'm not saying that you can't like read prayers that are already online and stuff, but be personal with God. God is a personal God. He doesn't just want one big relationship with all of us. He has personal relationships with each and every one of us. So just keep those things in mind. Her praying is not the issue. It's people's idolatry after her prayer. And I apologize, because I should have cleared that up. Her prayer is not wrong. It's the trend where people were taking her prayer and being like, oh, this is the best prayer ever. Like, I'm about to get a man soon because I prayed her prayer. That's not what that is. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, if you pray this specific prayer, you're going to get a husband or a wife or whatever the case is. It doesn't work like that. We know that we are governed by time, but God is not governed by time. So it just wouldn't make sense for us to try and do that. Also, she ends off her prayer saying that she is ready, but not all women are ready. Like in her prayer, she states that she is ready. And clearly whenever she prayed that, it was near her time to have Russell, to have him as a man. So she was either near ready or she was ready. Not all women though are ready. So whenever you pray this prayer and you're like, God, I'm ready for you to send me a husband, Are you really? Because if you were, God would have already sent him before. God is not trying to purposely withhold marriage or good things from us. If we don't need it at that time, God is not going to give it to us because he loves us enough to tell us no when something is not going to align with his will. Now, if we continue to try to do things outside of his will and we try to get things on our own timing in our own way, that's how we end up getting counterfeit stuff that looks like blessings, but in the end, it's really not. It's like God's way of saying, okay, you didn't listen, so I'm just going to let you have what you want. And then we end up seeing that God is always better than anything we could have ever imagined in our lives. And I definitely say that from personal experience. Also, whenever you are copying people's prayers, specifically for a spouse or specifically for a car or house or things like that, it can be very dangerous, specifically for relationships, because it creates this narrative that you have to put a recipe for a man or use a technique for a man. And I can't really say there's a technique. Some girls have like that sprinkle trend with, I think her name is like Shara or Sheree 7. But with her, yes, she teaches more of like a classy dating advice, I guess you could say. But it also in the end does give this sense or this ideology that you have to run men for their money and for things like that, when the Bible doesn't call us to do that. He calls us in the Bible to be Proverbs 31 women and Ephesians 5 men. That's the simple gist of it. When we think about people in the Bible, with Joseph and his wife, there was no recipe. That man was captive for many, many years, but he still was able to marry. With Moses and Zipporah, which I think is her name, it wasn't anything special that they did. It was just their time to marry. And so for us to think that we have to pray a certain prayer, or we have to talk to God this way, or if we have to do this many fasts to get his attention, that's when you border the line of witchcraft, because witchcraft is when you try to manipulate God and you can't manipulate God. So you just end up getting false realities that Satan is a part of. And so when we try to do that with men or with things like that, we end up going down a very, very dark path. I'm currently waiting right now to be married, and it's hard. I will not be dating for like a year and a half. That is incredibly hard. So hard, but God knows what's best for me. And at times, because this holy, not at times, you always know, because the Holy Spirit is in you if you've surrendered your life to Christ, that when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you need to wait, or that you need to stop, or that you need to pray or fast, whatever the case is, do that. If you can't even do those simple commands before you have a husband, why would God send you one? And I'm saying that and talking to myself as well, because there's been so many times when I'm like, God, I want to be in a relationship. And like when it's dark at night and I just think like, man, I wish I had a relationship. I wish I had someone to hug me. I wish I could be married and all those things. But God knows what's best for me. I don't know what's best for me clearly, because I always end up putting myself in crazy situations. But yes, just keep in mind, Sierra is not the blueprint for getting a man. And this is not only about Sierra. I'm not condemning her. I do think that her fruits don't always show Christianity, which is another reason why she should not be your model. But that's the same thing for me. I should not be your blueprint for Christianity. Your parents should not be your blueprint for Christianity. They can help you along the way. People can be used as tools. Your pastor can be used as a tool. Your best friend can be used as a tool. But the blueprint for the Bible is the Bible itself. We don't have to look toward other people to say, ooh, what do they think about this? Or what are they going to tell me? Yes, have healthy debates. Yes, learn things about the Bible. But if you want to learn more about the Bible, go to the Bible first, okay? Because I don't want anybody to be confused, and in turn we end up creating these idols and things like that over people, when we don't need to be idolizing anyone. The only person we need to worship is God and God alone, okay? Three in one. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. Three in one. That's it. Okay, so going on to Kingdom Spouse prophecies. Whew. First of all, let me say this, because this is where it gets serious. I felt for this, and it makes me emotional now thinking about this, because I was so young. I think I was like 16, 17, like just turned 17. It wasn't last year, it was 2022, because I'll be 19 this year, which is crazy. That's weird. And I feel like 19 is like a weird age, but anyways. I fell for this. I used to be in like tarot and new age before I came to Christ. And so I was very used to like
prophecies kind of being dished out like tarot cards and stuff. And so when I came to Christ, I thought it was the same thing. I was like, oh, prophets are just the good version of tarot cards in New Age. No. Those, like, all of those should never even be in the same sentence. But a lot of the prophets that I was seeing on my TikTok page, they reminded me of the New Age prophecies that I would get. They reminded me of the New Age tarot card readings and the angel numbers and stuff. And so, of course, because they said they were of God, I just followed after. I was like, oh, this is amazing. There were guys that I liked at the time, and they would be prophecy saying, oh, this is going to be your husband. He just did something wrong, like, but he's going to come back to you, or things like that. And so I ended up falling for this. And I'm telling you now, if there's confusion with the man, if he is not sure about you, if he is not steady, if he is not Christ, if he is not the epitome of Christ fruits, look at Galatians 5 for that. Leave the man alone. I wish that we as women were more confident. I wish that we loved ourselves more and truly realized that we are daughters of the King, not a king, but the King of all kings, who was and is to come, past, present, and future. So if a young man is not pursuing you, if you have to go out of your way to keep conversations with him, if you have to go out of your way to talk to him, if you're thinking about him all the time, but that man could care less about what you're doing, leave him alone. And if you choose not to leave him alone, that is your choice, because we have free will. But I'm telling you, the consequences are never worth it. Always ask God before you do something. I kid you not. People always joke, and I feel like this is the truth. One of the quickest prayers that God will answer is, God, should this person be in my life or should they not? Because that can really mess with your purpose. Well, no, our purpose as Christians is to spread the gospel. But yes, it can deter you from your purpose, and it can deter you from your calling whenever you're with people or near people or sleeping with people who are not in God's will. If a man doesn't love you enough to marry you, but he wants to get in your pants. So it's like, oh, you can't give me a ring, but you can get in my pants. There's a problem there. If a man is saying that he loves you, but he only wants to see you at night with your legs spread open, ridiculous. And again, I'm talking to myself, because I didn't hear this growing up. I just saw it with my family, and I just knew that there were certain things with family and friends that I just did not want to imitate. And I messed up a lot of times with lust. And I talk about this in my testimony. I talk about everything in my testimony. I'm very clear about things. But I'm telling you, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mom, from your dad, from your sister, whatever the bad example that you saw was around you. Learn so that you do not become like them. Pray, fast, do better than what you saw or what you see around you in college or in high school or middle school, wherever you're at listening to this. If a man wants you, he will pursue you. Even, I hear this all the time, people are like, what about the shy guys? Even the shyest of guys, listen to me, even the shyest of guys have came up to me, asked me for my numbers, talked to me, and did all those things. I could tell they were nervous, but they still did it. Because it's innate in men to want to pursue. It's like when you throw a steak at a dog and it immediately goes after it. That's kind of like how men are with us. When they see something, they pursue it. That's the way that God created them. And we as women, we don't have to do the chasing. We don't have to chase. We can stay where we're at and a man will come and find us. We don't have to go searching like this. No, it's okay. No man should ever put his seed inside of you and allow y'all's baby to have his first name before he gives you his last name. Sorry, I'm just reword that. No man that actually loves you and is underneath God's will be okay with planting his seed in you and allowing y'all's child to have his last name before you have his last name. It just doesn't make sense. And I know people always say marriage isn't the end goal. And in that case, they are right. Our whole Christian walk isn't about just getting married. But I feel like most of us know that. But marriage is a beautiful thing. It is. In a healthy, God-ordained marriage, you won't have to worry about getting tested for STDs. You won't have to worry about commitment and if he loves you or not. No, that'll be evident with your partner. Why? Because every day they strive to be like Christ, and Christ would show that to us as his church, as his bride, because that's who we are. So, the general definition of kingdom spouse is referring to the person that God has set apart for you, who is going to be your partner in advancing the kingdom. This is different from a royal consort, which is the spouse of a reigning king or queen. The Bible describes the relationship between a husband and wife as an equal partnership in God's gift of new life. The last one I do agree with, but I do not agree with saying that a kingdom spouse is going to help you to advance God's kingdom. And so this gets really tricky because of the exact wording. So I looked this up. To advance God's kingdom means to expand the reign of God, kind of like how yeast spreads through dough and causes it to rise, which you can read about that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, because there's a parable talking about that. But be very careful about how you word things, because you can have a young man who's pursuing you, who's a man of God that you're engaged to, you're going to get married, all those things. He can be someone that God's sent, but to call him a kingdom spouse is a dangerous, very dangerous, like, kind of branch of things. And you can see it with TikTok videos and stuff. Things get crazy very quickly. I put all the TikTok videos at the beginning. The wordings that they use, all of those things, it's very dangerous. You have to be extremely, extremely, extremely careful. And also, once you label your spouse as kingdom, whenever they mess up or whenever they fall short of God's glory, I'll take back that last sentence because I don't know if that's biblical or not, so I apologize. But whenever they mess up or they fall short or things like that, you will start to question, like, wait, I thought you were supposed to be my kingdom spouse. Like, I thought you were supposed to do X, Y, and Z and all of these things. Be careful, y'all. Be very, very careful. But you have to be very careful because specific words can infer blasphemy. We do not need to expand God's reign because God does that on their own. Now, I do assume that they mean that they want to somehow partner with God in expanding his reign or keep having going, but assumption isn't enough for words like this when a lot of people, especially young women, are falling after this stuff. Assumption isn't enough, and you can't just listen to buzzwords that people throw and they just start blindly repeating them. That's another thing I wanted to talk about. A common thing that you're going to see if you do research on kingdom spouse stuff and things like that is woman prophets, like, prophesying about this stuff. And we just know as women, this isn't a lie. This is nothing new. We're more emotional. We're led more by our emotions and stuff. And so these women are prophesying, telling you, oh, he's going to come back to you, or this is going to happen and all those things. It's a play on your emotions. God does not have to play on our emotion. He gives it to us cut and dry and simple and straight in the Bible. He doesn't have to tug at our emotions to get us to do X, Y, or Z, because his word is concrete. So when prophets are telling you, you have to sow this amount to get a prophecy from your man, or you have to do this, or God's telling them that your man is going to do this, but in actuality, that man, he cheated on you, or he lied to you, or he had a baby on you and something. God is not in the equation anymore. Not the God of the Bible. The God that's in this equation now with the kingdom spouse prophecies that aren't even coming to pass is little G-O-D, Satan, the God of this world. And so to say that a marriage will advance God's kingdom and expand his reign is very blasphemous, because we don't have the power to expand God's reign. We did not beget him or give him his sovereignty, so we cannot expand his reign. Can we influence others to give their life to Christ? Yes, we can give those tools and preach the gospel, but ultimately it's God working in them. And when they go to heaven, we don't get to take credit for that. We didn't expand his reign doing that. And then a marriage advancing the kingdom or expanding God's reign makes it seem as if the kingdom of God needs to make progress, which it doesn't. Heaven is perfect in and of itself. Yes, it talks about how there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but that doesn't mean that we have to try to go in as super Christians and fix the things that are wrong with heaven, which doesn't even sound right, because there's nothing wrong with heaven. It's perfect and absolute. Also, be careful, because these are some buzzwords that they use. They will say things like, you and your kingdom spouse are going to advance the kingdom. They'll say your kingdom spouse / your partner. They'll say this is your God-ordained spouse. Which that statement in and of itself is not wrong. But if that's the truth, whenever God speaks in the Bible, it's absolute and direct. He doesn't need 12,000 prophets to tell you the same thing over and over and over again. They use angel numbers, and angel numbers play on numerology. Now in the Bible, certain numbers do mean things, like the Trinity has three. The number seven is perfect and absolute, 40 in the Bible. But to bank on angel numbers like 111, 222, and harp on man-made definitions to say that that's God speaking to you, it's not him. It's not the God that you think it is. It is a God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's Satan. And he's using those numbers and those man-made definitions to speak to you. Now, if you're wondering, well, isn't the Bible man-made as well? You're right, it absolutely is. But the difference is those men who wrote the Bible were inspired by God to write that stuff. These modern day angel numbers, they weren't there back in biblical times, and they're not even in the Bible. It's just loose interpretations, which is why every single time you look up an angel number, depending on the website, the definition will be different. Also, it's going to say things like congrats in the prophecy, it's handled, soon, they learn their lesson, they're sorry, they see you, they're changing. I hear God saying, God says. If God is saying these things, he will speak it to the individual person that he needs to speak to as well. He will not just say it to you to speak on TikTok and to give a general prophecy to all of these women. And then they try to backtrack by saying, well, not every prophecy is for every woman. Well, how do they know that if you don't speak on how prophecy is truly supposed to be tested in the Bible in 1 John? How would they know if you're not teaching them? So then also, they are not real prophets. And we know this because real prophets are not based on sensuality. They're not based on emotions, and their prophecies don't come back false. There's this thing going around now saying, if a prophet messes up one prophecy, but all the others are right, is he a false prophet? I say absolutely yes. Because with Jesus, we're not harping on gambling. It's not, oh, Jesus was right about this, but wrong about that. No, sir. As a prophet, if you say that you're a prophet and you're ordained by God, you need to be right about everything. Because you messing up once and you're God's mouthpiece, then you're saying that God is incorrect. Last time I checked, he never was and he never will be. So, also, please be aware, God is not in a shortage of men. There are men. Okay, he's on the shortage of them. You don't have to go back to your ex. Don't go back to abuse. Do not be like the Israelites going back to territory that God has already delivered you from. It's not greener on the other side. You're just looking at it out of rose-colored glasses, so you're not seeing the reality right now. You need to spend some time alone, just in God's word and with people who are going to tell you the truth and not just feed you lies. These rise of TikTok prophets and things like that, they were not happening before then. And I know because, duh, TikTok wasn't made in like the 80s and 90s and stuff. But even then, the kingdom spouse stuff was not happening. This is just a buzzword that's been going around, and it's false. It is not true. So please do not succumb to that. And also, please keep in mind that when you see a lot of these women, a good deal of them are Black women speaking on this. And if you are a Black woman, you already know that in our community, there has been a decline rapidly of fathers in the house. If you were not taught about what a true father looks like, what a true man looks like, you are going to be more likely to succumb to these things. It's like the example that people talk about. You are more likely to be sexually assaulted. And this is the list that I fell underneath as well, because I am a sexual assault survivor, which I, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I don't want to make light of that. It just made me a little uncomfortable to say, so that's why my face was like that. But I didn't have a father in the house. Me and my family were and still are on low income stuff like food stamps and stuff. I was pretty isolated as a child. Like, I always felt like I was by myself, even though there were other people around me. I had a social media. Those four alone will make you more susceptible to sexual assault. Those things as well, I say, in my opinion, will make you more susceptible to these weird ideologies that are trying to harp on your emotions when it comes to a man, saying that you have to sow a seed for a man, saying that you have to do X, Y, Z for some type of spouse. And I'm going to put this in as well so that y'all can see someone saying that they have to sow a seed for a spouse.
But I don't want you to come here empty-handed. There's an altar that is saying she can't get married. There's an altar that says she can't give birth. Physical baby, you can't get pregnant. You try. There's barrenness, physically and spiritually. If you are here, I want you to sow a seed. I want you to have a sacrifice in your hands. Papa said what?
He just called me and said for everybody to connect to the word that you just said. He said, have mama tell everybody to sow a seed for exactly what you said, word for word. And he said, of $1,500 to connect to this word and then bless them and pray for them.
Amen.
The prophet was already know what I'm about to say before I even say it.
2 weeks ago, Grandpa was on live on Facebook with Bishop Josh, and he instructed me to sow a seed of 888 for marriage. And that was the seed that I brought on Sunday. That was, I received miracle money that came in the mail.
I'm not praying for marriage. An altar that is saying she can't get married.
Which she in and of herself is false, because why do you have to sow a seed for a spouse? It's not a dowry, to be clear. It's a seed that's being sown, which is crazy. Also, I'm so sorry about the wind and me clicking that. I live in Texas. The winds are crazy right now, so I really do apologize for that and in any other videos that you may hear that. But also, they use words like saying they'll move to you, they'll propose to you, they'll say sorry, they know that they did wrong, etc. And y'all, this sounds like the tarot card readings that are on TikTok. It's insane. Like, it just, there should be nothing in the kingdom of God that even likely mimics tarot card stuff. It should be the other way around. False religion should be mimicking Christianity, not people calling themselves Christians trying to mock other religions. No, we do not need to do that. Also, be aware, as women and as men, we have hormones, okay? Ovulation can make you more horny at times. And so you can have a lot of sexual feelings that are heightened during certain periods of time. This does not mean go back to an ex. It doesn't mean read a kingdom spouse prophecy, even though it feels good. That is not what that means, okay? It means that you need to spend more time in your Bible, probably, or you just need to take some time to rest, go exercise, go on a walk, do some practical things so that you don't fall back into sin. Do not be like the Israelites that went back to, that tried to go back to Egypt after God already made their mass exodus. It just doesn't make sense. We're to be vigilant, not silly, okay? And we need to be honest about our desires and our standards for a man. Do not hide your desires. Be honest with God. Because when you start to hide your desires and stuff, you fall back into lust. You feel shameful. You act like you don't even want a spouse when you know that you really do. Like, stuff like that happens. And the more that you hide these desires and these feelings that you're feeling, you're more susceptible to schemes of the enemy. And these things will end up manifesting. Like, the push down desires will end up surfacing elsewhere in your life. And it will not be good. Whether it be your emotions and you always being angry or whatever the case is, and that sin will not properly be addressed, which is sad. So the prophets now, like, if you want to know, like, how do I identify these things, the prophets will show the spirit. And if you're like, okay, well, how do I know the spirit's in them? Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the spirit, and that's what I talked about the entire first season. If people are saying that they are God but not showing those fruits, you don't need a prophecy to tell you that. You need the Bible to tell you that. It's either they have the fruits of the spirit or they don't. Point blank, period. Excuse me. God's scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, should be breathed out by these modern day prophets who are not even actually prophesying God's word if they're doing kingdom spouse stuff. But instead, they are continuously redacting information for eisegetical reasons, which eisegesis is just putting your own context in the Bible. That's what's happening with these kingdom spouse prophecies. And there are a lot of babes in Christ, meaning like they haven't been on their relationship with God for a while. They're feeding into this because they don't know any better. And so I will say, I pray that y'all are very vigilant and that y'all are watching out for all of this stuff. There is no recipe or technique for man. If it happens in God's timing, if you allow it to, it'll happen. If not, rush it and you'll see what happens. Also, be wary of all kingdom spouse prophecies. 9 times out of 10, you don't need a prophecy to tell you that you'll be married. You don't need someone telling you to sow a seed so that you'll be married. Stay in your Bible so that you're not tricked as often. And if you fell for this, or if you're currently falling for it, just come back to Christ. It's okay. Everybody messes up. I already said I messed up too. But thank y'all so much for watching this video. Oh, I didn't even say what episode this was. This is episode 4. But yeah. Ew. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I hate the white line on my lips. But yeah. Thank y'all so much for watching this video. I have peppers and strawberries on my hands, by the way. But yeah. Toodles.